We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachlushim, Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Kelim Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. By way of introduction, we mentioned already the Gistero. The Gistero is a shard of earthenware. So you have an earthenware kli, and it breaks into pieces. As long as some of those shards are usable, you can still, they're curved, you can put oil, water inside, whatever it may be, or maybe it'll be used even to catch a drip from a leak from another kli. So that Gistero is still susceptible to Tumah. But there's a fundamental difference between a gistera and a kli itself. And that is that a kli that develops a hole, so it's tahor now, because the hole is too big, let's say olives are falling through, but if you plug it up, so then it's restored now to its original status, and it's mekabel tumah once again. If you have a gistera, though, that has utility, there's liquid that you're able to hold, that has a receptacle, it's curved, but now that develops a hole, so plugging that up is not going to help. The Gemara has the line in Masechah Shabbos Tadivav and Alf, Ein Mivin Gistera La Gistera. Once you have a gistera, a shard that's cracked, you don't say, I'm bring another gistera, you know, to catch whatever's underneath it, or to help fix it, to help restore it. No one does that. So that's an important difference between a gistera on the one hand, which, yes, certainly has utility, and a kli. And that we'll see in the Mishnah. When you have a gistera, once it becomes Torah for 1 second, can never become tummy again, susceptible to tumah. But a kli, as we'll see, can be. So the Mishnah speaks about the following: chavis shenikva vasa'a bezefes. Here you have a barrel, and it develops a hole. And what you do, you repair. So with the hole, it's tower. It's a hole large enough that olives can fall through. We had that machokes before. Let's say it's a chavis, according to one opinion. Maybe walnuts fall through. Maybe gros, dried figs fall through. The bottom line is, it's no longer mekabel tumah in its state because the hole is too big. But va'asa bezefes. But you filled it in, you plug it up, that hole, with pitch. And then v'nishbar. And after being repaired, with it now completely breaks the many pieces. And obviously one of those pieces has that hole that was plugged up with pitch. So the halacha works like this, says the Mishnah. If the piece, that gistera, that shard that's now broken, or if this kli that had been plugged, that actually is the one that has that original hole that was plugged up with pitch, and that gistera is able to hold a revius of a lug. A lug is 6 batesim, the size of 6 eggs. Revius a lug, 3 to 4, 3 to 5 ounces, what we assume we have to drink for Kiddush. So if that gistera, which has that plugged hole, is able to hold a revius, tumea, it is susceptible to tumah. Vipnesha lo batel shame kli me'alea. Because the name of a kli, the original barrel, never lost its name as a kli, even when it had a hole. Because it was originally a kli. It wasn't a gistera to begin with. It was a kli. It was a barrel. Had a hole. So it's tahor at that point. But it still had that. It was called a barrel of chavis with a hole in it. And then you plugged it up. So the name barrel is still there. So therefore, now that it breaks, the piece that has that plug is going to be like any gistera that comes from a barrel that was complete, a kli that's complete, and assuming it can hold a revius, it's susceptible to tumah. Cheres though shenikav va'asa'o bezefes, but now let's say you have earthenware. It was a cheres, meaning it wasn't a kli, it wasn't a chavis. It was already a gistera. It was already a piece of earthenware from a broken kli. And now that developed, and it was still had utility. You're using it to hold liquids, that curved shard. But now it develops a hole, va'asa obezefes, and you repaired it, filling in the hole. Afal pisha maxik revius tor. Even though that piece could hold a revius of a lug of liquid in that area, it's still tor. You haven't done anything. You don't restore it to its original kabbalas tumah state. Vipnesha batel shame kli me'alav. Because it already lost the status of a kli when the original kli broke. So you had a gistera, had a broken piece, wasn't called a barrel anymore, wasn't called a chavis, so even before it had a hole. So now that it has a hole, once it has that moment that it's no longer kabbal tumah, it's tor, you can't restore it to its original state. The Bartuna just points out that when we speak about the chavis that breaks, this is if it's able to hold a Revias Halug. Why is that the shear? Why is that significant shear? So we have to remind ourselves what we learned in the previous parak of Mishnah Beis. We had, when the Mishnah had said, Milog ad va'ad sa'ab a Revias. When we're speaking about a barrel that's able to hold from a log until a sa'ah, so then the significant amount where it still has the status of a kli is holding a revius. If it's a chavis that holds a smaller amount, so then even maybe a chatzi log would be enough. We had that whole list in the previous parak. Parak Gimel Mishnah Dalet. Chavis shenis ro'a'ah. This nisro'ah means it weakened, it's shaky. So it means that it has cracks, but it's still in one piece. So such a chavis, so far it's still what's its status as a kli if the walls of the barrel aren't able to hold what it normally holds? Let's say we spoke about a chavis, normally it'll hold dried figs. So even though it's in one piece, if it's able to hold what it normally does, so even though it may be a little bit, looks like a little cracks in it, nothing's really going to fall out, but it would crack if it held what it normally holds, so then it's going to be tor. If it could still hold what it normally holds, obviously it's still makabel tuma. But in this case, it looks like a complete kli. It has cracks in it, but no holes. But we know that it's too fragile to hold the figs or whatever it is that it normally holds. So such a chavis is going to be tor. It's not susceptible to tuma. But what the person here did was he had this chavis shenis ro'a'ah, utfala, and he coated it with the outside of that barrel, biglolim, with dung. And that's able to hold it together. Once it reinforces the walls, it strengthens it once it dries. So now it's back to being a kli again, meaning it's back to being susceptible to tumah because it's strong enough. What happens? Afal pishu no teles aglolim b'hacharasim no flim tumea. Even if you would take away the dung and the earthenware would now fall apart and break into pieces, which means it sounds like after you put this on, this coating, so then it weakens, the kli weakened even more. To the extent that if you didn't have the coating, then the whole thing would break apart. Well, when you started, so it didn't fall apart. There are just cracks in it. But you know that it couldn't hold what it needed to hold. Then you coated it with the dung. And now that strengthens it so it can hold figs that it normally needs to hold. So that's now it's mekabel tuma once again. But now it's weakened so much, it's still in one piece, but you know that if you would, and it can still hold the figs, but you would know that if you take away the coating that you put on a few days ago, the whole thing would fall into pieces. Nonetheless, tumea, it's still considered a complete kli. It's mekabel tuma. Why? Same idea we had in the previous Mishnah. It never lost that name, that status of a kli, before you coated it. The same idea that we have when it came to the kli versus the gistera. Gistera didn't have a shame kli. That's why a hole in it and plugging the hole is not going to help. But here, this chavis, in this case, it started out as a kli. Although it was tor in the sense that the cracks made it not unable to hold what it needed to hold, it didn't lose the same chavis. It still had the status of a barrel. And you coated it, so it still has the status of a barrel. The fact that now the cracks the kli is so weakened that if you remove the coating, it would fall apart. Doesn't matter. It's still mekabel tuma. Nishpura though bidibek mi metacharsis, but if the barrel broke originally, now you glue the pieces together. Oshehivi charsis b'makom acher, or you brought pieces of some other pieces of pottery and glue them together to make them the whole thing into a barrel. Utfalon b'glolam, then you coated it with dung, so you strengthen it. Afal pishu no tel glolam acharasim onim. Here, even if you would remove away the dung, the barrel that you glued together was strong enough that it would stay together, it's still Torah. It's going to be Torah. It's not Mekabel Tuma. Batel Shem Kli Be'alel. Because at this point, it has lost its status of a kli. Doesn't matter that you coated it with dung. Doesn't matter you put on glue. It cannot be brought back to the status of a kli because the way it started out here was Nishbara, that it broke apart and you glued the pieces back together. This is all in a case where the barrel broke into pieces that were, none of them were large enough to be susceptible to Tumah by themselves. So therefore, gluing it together is not going to help. And we remember our general rule, once you have a broken piece if it's a broken piece and it's Torah for even a second, it cannot become Tumah again. What about the Hayabah Cheres Machzik Revius? Let's say the barrel that you glue back together had a piece that could hold a Revius of liquid on its own. So if that's true, says the Mishnah, Kula mitama b'maga ukinegdo mitame ba'avir. So what would happen if that large piece became a dead sheretz touched it or was in its airspace? It would become tame because it's susceptible to tumah because it's able to hold a revius, has the status of a kli. Now what you do, you glue all of the pieces back together. Most of the pieces were, most of the pieces of this barrel that you put back together of the kli cheres are too small, they're not machzik revius, they're not considered a kli alone, but this piece happens to be machzik revius. So now that it's all one entity, the Mishnah is telling you, kula metama b'maga. If that piece becomes tamei, a whole barrel is able to transmit tumah to food or liquid, whatever it is, by touching it, even the smaller pieces, not obviously the big piece, because that's susceptible to them, that became tummy, and then it can transmit tumah. But even the smaller pieces that were, because it's all part of one entity, they're all attached together with that one piece, which retains status of a kabbalas tumah. And ukinegdo mitame ba'avir. But regarding tumah ba'avir in the airspace, so that's only the airspace which is opposite that larger piece. The space within the walls of that large piece that was able to hold the revius, that can transmit tumah through its airspace. So there's a difference between maga touching, where the tumas maga would apply to all of those little pieces because they're all part of the barrel. Why should that be? So the Bar Tuna explains, kula metame b'mago du kula nasin yad la'oso cheres. We'll learn this later in the Masechta. Yad, it literally means a hand or a handle. So we know that a kli, or we could have a mug, so the inside, the receptacle is the inside of the mug. But the handle, that's completely on the outside. But if something has the status of the yad of a kli, so it could be that if the yad is a tame, so the rest of the kli is tame. Maybe if the kli is tame, the yad is tame. There's a yad when it comes to stems as well. Maseches Uksin speaks about that. Last Masechta of Shas, which hopefully we'll get to. Would you have a stem? If I'm holding the fruit, not by the fruit, but by the stem, but the fruit, so do we assume that tumah, if there's tumah on the fruit, there's tumah on the stem. Someone who's tame, let's say, is holding the stem, is not touching the fruit itself. Does that transmit tumah? So yad would tell me that it does. And the same thing is true when it comes to this kli, that the little pieces are considered a yad to the larger piece that holds a revius, and therefore tumah can be transmitted, assuming that the larger piece is tameh, so then the whole thing is tameh, and there'll be tumah that to food or drink. But in terms of airspace, says the Bar Tuna, de'ein avir liyad kli cheres. There's no concept of avir when it comes to the yad of a kli cheres. So these little pieces are the yad, are the handle to the larger piece. So when it comes to tumas maga touching, that is true. They will have the same status as the larger piece of pottery. That's all that's unified right now into one kli. But in terms of avir of airspace, that much we do not say. And that, yes, that piece itself, the larger gistera that's glued together with the rest of the barrel, that remained, even when the kli was broken, the barrel, that remained susceptible to tumah. That could transmit tumas avir. If that were tame, something in the air space become tame. So too, and the kli would become tame if there were a dead cheretz, let's say, in its airspace. That remains true now, but only opposite that section, not opposite the other small piece. Just to go back for a moment to the dung when we coat something. So the Gemara Masechah Shabbos on Daf Tezvav with a lot of discussion about Tumah Vatara. So there's a Machlokes Tanoim when you have a kli that now is damaged somewhat and you repair it with something else. So let's say you have a glass kli and you patch it up with lead. So lead is metal. Glass is metal is the tami midrabanan. Glass is mikabel to metal is mikabel to midoraisa. Glass only midrabanan. So there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. What status we give the kli? Do we give it the status of its original substance, which is it's if it's glass kli, it's a glass kli, or do we say no? The halachos are based on the coating. So that's a machlokas. Rabbi Meir says, we follow the coating. We treat this glass kli now like metal. Whatever laws apply to metal, it's a term of a tara, will apply to this kli because that's what's allowing you to use it. That's what's strengthening it. And the Chacham say, no, the fact that you put a piece of lead on it, that doesn't mean that it is a lead kli. That certainly strengthens it, allows you to use it. But nonetheless, we view our case, we use the kli as a glass kli. So the same thing with Shrihu. You have an earthenware barrel. So that's a mekabel tuma, like clay cheres. But what you coated it with dung. Dung, glolim, are not mekabel tuma at all. So that same machlokas would apply. If you hold like Rabbi Meir, you would say, well, it's now we govern it by glolim, clay glolim, dung is not mekabel tuma. So this kli is not mekabel tuma anymore because that's the coating. And the Chachamim would say, no, this is what's the kli? It's clay cheres. The fact that it's being strengthened and coated by the dung that's not mekabel tuma is irrelevant. At the end of the day, the kli is an earthenware kli and it's susceptible to tumah.